Have you heard about the nerds? What's the word? Teaching nerds. You can tweet them out on Twitter. You can find them on the gram. After listening to their podcast, you'd be sitting there like, bam! Trying to take the teaching from one level to the next. Reaching up to Canada and down to Mexico. Gotta go. Teaching nerds. Start the show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast. I'm Ron Nober. I am a technology teacher for grades 3 to 8, and I'm flying solo today without my co-host, Joe DiPaolo. Joe is a 5th grade teacher for math, science, and social studies. But today, you just have me, and I'm going to be talking about a blog that I recently wrote for ClickView. First, I want to tell you a little bit about ClickView. ClickView is a platform that makes incorporating video into your teaching simple, safe, and fun. It allows you to explore subjects and topics and discover an easier approach to lesson planning. There are thousands of videos that are standard aligned, age appropriate, and diverse. And ClickView helps you find the perfect video for your lesson. The videos on ClickView are actively curated and constantly updated, and they have a team of educators that handpick high-quality videos and create classroom-ready resources and organize everything by subject and topic, saving you a ton of time. Like I said, every video on ClickView comes with resources, complete lesson plans, really helping you cut down on that time. So go ahead, give ClickView a look, and their website is clickvieweducation.com. Check them out. I think you will be happy with what you see and what you find on ClickView. Getting into the blog that I wrote a blog about 4 examples of gamification in education. This is something that is near and dear to my heart. I kind of have been doing gamification in education all through my educational career without really even thinking about it. But when I really started to research this, I realized that, you know, teaching this generation, the generations that we are now, which is the end of Generation Z and the students in the beginning of Generation Alpha, these are students that have grown up with devices in their hands, playing games, watching videos, being digitally engaged for as long as they've been on Earth. They've also grown up with like hyper-personalization and on-demand content and recommended games, videos, movies, and TV. And in the conversations that we have with educators, usually we're hearing that this generation has a deep love and affection for games, but they also are saying they have a short attention span. And when you think about it, do they have a short attention span? Because these are students who can, when into a game, play for hours on end without interruption, without losing focus, without losing attention. A 2021 survey by Common Sense Media said that 8 to 12-year-olds play an average of 90 minutes of video games a day, and I'm assuming that number has gone up. And 13 to 18-year-olds play about 105 minutes of video games a day. Again, assuming that number has gone up. So you kind of have to think, is it attention or is it engagement? And are they the same thing? In my research, I came across an article by Neil A. Bradbury, and he states, and I quote, "Although the two concepts are related, they are nonetheless distinct. As an educator, if you have your students' attention, you can pour information into them. But if you have their engagement, they are actively craving content from you," unquote. So I guess the question is, would you want someone who is giving you their attention or who is engaged? And I think at this point, I want someone who is engaged, actively craving that content. And either from me or from their own research. So I think if we integrate principles of game design, we can kind of unlock that engagement. So gamification in education really is about encompassing achievement. Okay, one of the key features. That can be through badges, rewards, storytelling, personalization of avatars, integration of like time-based elements, countdowns, things like that, bonuses that, again, people can achieve. And I focused on four different gamifications. The first one is Classcraft. And Classcraft is an online platform. It's a comprehensive online gaming program. You could Classcraft as your classroom. Some schools have Classcraft the entire school experience, and some districts have even Classcraft their entire school experience. Using Classcraft, you can encourage positive behaviors in your students, design quests and rewards, design objectives and assessments. Students get to enjoy the opportunity to personalize their avatars, acquire gear, earn rewards, even train virtual pets on Classcraft. The approach that Classcraft uses is really grounded in self-determination theory, which is that meeting players' needs for control, competency development, and a sense of relatedness creates significant pathways to fostering intrinsic motivation through external systems, like gaming, like Classcraft. Classcraft does have free and paid versions. There is a little bit of setup, obviously, and if you're going with the paid version, a financial commitment to paying. But I think you will find that the rewards far outweigh the cost. Again, being able to incentivize rewards for positive behavior. You can go in, you can specifically craft rewards. You can have rewards for collaboration and peer recognition. Students can recognize each other for certain things. You can set up personalized learning with the quests that students do. You can create fun assessments. You can even increase student and parent engagement. And one of the best parts of Classcraft is you get to collect data. And typically we collect data, and it's usually for those students who are problem students, right? How many suspensions do they have? How many demerits do they have? How many phone calls home do they have? But we rarely get to collect data on the positive things students are doing. So those students who aren't creating any problems in the classroom, we have very little data on them. With Classcraft, you get that data. And not only do you get that data for the quote-unquote good students, but you also get to unlock the data for those students who you have that data for, the students who are getting demerits, who are getting suspensions. But you can also see the positive things that they've done. So highly recommend giving Classcraft a check out. Again, there's a little bit of financial commitment and a little bit of time commitment to setting up and learning about Classcraft, but highly recommend it. You can also listen to interviews we've done with Sean Young, who is the founder of Classcraft, on episode 79, 80, and 82 of the Teacher Nerds podcast. And he, you know, really discusses Classcraft in a little more detail. But again, highly recommend checking out Classcraft. The other thing that, the other example of gamification that I highlighted in this blog post was a badge system. Badge systems require very minimal time, almost no financial commitment at all. But it's a powerful tool to get high levels of satisfaction and motivation with the students, especially when you're having them work through things at their own pace. I have used badge systems for all of my classes from third to eighth grade. And when I implement the badge system, I notice a notable increase in student engagement and motivation. Setting up a badge system, really straightforward, really easy. I begin it by creating a Google slide and adding a table to each slide until I have enough tables for all my students. The far left column is students' first names, and the top row are the badges that they can earn. I design the badges or work with my students to design the badges in a tool such as Canva or Adobe Express or even Google Draw. You know, I try and make them visually appealing, fun, and I restrict the number of badges usually to about 7 or 8 so it doesn't get overwhelming. Once I have the presentation, under File in Google Classroom, you can go to Share and publish the slideshow to the web, again, which is why I only put students' first names. I share the link to the published Google Slides with the students, and that allows them to view the slides, but I retain the ability to copy and paste badges as they are earned. Students will then come to me when they feel like they've earned a badge, show me the work that they've done, I'll add the badge, and they can see, you know, what I've done. Again, this fulfills some of those components of that self-determination theory. There's the autonomy, students feel in control. There's a competence, they know their actions will earn them badges. And they get to celebrate each other's success when earning badges. Sometimes there's even a healthy competition where students strive to be the first one to complete a badge. Again, great for reviewing. Again, any of that work at your own pace, times tables in the younger grades and recognizing and committing times tables to memory. Not a ton of time commitment. No financial commitment, but a lot of reward when dealing with the students. The third aspect of gamification was storytelling as gamification. Again, most games have some kind of story related to them. And this, again, cost effective, doesn't cost a lot of money, but does require a little bit of time and creativity. So just imagine when you're working with students, being able to transport them to a time and place where they feel like they are part of the story. One of the articles that I read for in researching this blog post suggested that brains actually respond to what is happening in a story as if it were a genuine experience. The limbic system, neurotransmitters are all engaged. They experience a narrative as if they were there. And it enhances recall. So again, you feel like you are there, and think about yourself being able to recall things from stories that you've told that have happened to you. Storytelling does that. One of the best storytellers that I know is Randy, who is a physical education teacher that I work with. And he creates these unbelievable quests for students, all with live with music, ways to level up. He has all different characters and engaging activities. He uses a Bluetooth speaker and his phone to have the music. He transforms this PE arena that he's in into a world of adventure. One of the quest that he has is around a little stuffed strawberry held hostage by Prince Cardio in a mansion named the Peloton of Money. And students embark on this journey using different movements to unlock characters, maps, or levels, and defeating enemies using exercises like jumping jacks or, you know, rope jumping. I recently did a podcast, or Joe and I did a podcast episode with Randy, and that's episode 89 of the Teacher Nerds podcast. And during that podcast, Joe being a fifth grade math teacher, we discussed you know, creating a story around volume and the teaching of volume in Joe's math class. And really within a matter of minutes, we had characters created like Lord Volume, Alan Area, and Peter Perimeter. You know, each had assigned tasks around Lord Volume's home. And that night I leveraged AI and Canva and designed pictures of the characters. It was that quick that we were able to come up with these characters. So storytelling really puts students as if it were really happening to them and really brings that recall up in, you know, when they're trying to recall things from lessons later on. Definitely highly recommend if you can incorporate storytelling in some way into your lesson. It's going to be engaging, it's going to help with recall, and it's just going to be fun. The last one is something I did years ago when I taught fifth grade, and that was I created a classroom martial art. With this, again, low budget, little bit of time commitment, but the rewards are amazing. And you as the teacher, you can keep it as low key as you want or infuse it with like the reverence and ceremony and discipline in any other martial arts. I created mine. I called it Kaizen Jitsu. And Kaizen is the continuous self-improvement and jitsu is the gentle art. So mine was the gentle art of self-improvement. And what it did was students were not competing against each other, just competing against themselves to constantly improve. And early goals for belt levels would be class goals that we would set. As students started to go into some of the higher belt levels, then we started to tailor what would get them to the next belt level based on what they needed to grow. So we would have meetings to discuss what were they looking to do and what were they looking to improve, rather than having a competition between students. It was all about them improving themselves. You could have students create avatars for themselves in Canva, again, Adobe Express, and again, display their avatars on a website, display them on a bulletin board in class, display them on a Google slide, and have the belt ranking system and have the belts change on their avatars. Once students started to achieve higher belt levels, they unlocked privileges within class, sometimes choosing seats, sitting with friends, earning homework passes, securing certain classroom jobs. Again, your imagination is your limit with what they can earn through doing a belt level or a classroom martial art. The other thing that I found great with this was there was not a lot of explanation because many students were very familiar with martial arts and the belt level process in martial arts. So it resonated with them right away. Great thing for the beginning of the year to start off. The only limitation you have is this is your creativity for you and your class. I hope listening to some of these gamified ideas allows you to meet students where they are. Engage with them with things that they like. Students love games. Let's engage them with gamification in the classroom. Thanks for joining us on this episode. Be sure to get ready for next episode coming out in March, where we will be interviewing Christy Cloud. She is all about everything AI, and look forward to her teaching us a lot of the different AI tools that are out there and helping us navigate that a little bit. Thanks for being one of the teacher nerds, and we'll see you next time. Teacher nerds, knocking on your door. Open up, let's take your teaching further than before.
Give it a try. Don't be shy. There's nothing there to lose. Worst thing that happens, kids get pain on their shoes. We're talking teacher nerds. I'm talking teacher.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast. Keep up with every new episode by subscribing on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, or anywhere you listen. When you subscribe, be sure to give us a review and tell a friend. Visit us at teachernerds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Teacher Nerds, on Instagram at Teacher Nerds Podcast, or email us teachernerds@gmail.com. And remember, we're nerds with a Z. Most importantly, thank you for listening and becoming one of the Teacher Nerds.